Welcome to the Multiply Your Success podcast, where each week we help growth-minded entrepreneurs and franchise leaders take the next step in their expansion journey. I'm your host, Tom Dufour, CEO of Big Sky Franchise Team, and this episode today is a very special podcast because it's episode number 200. Can you believe that? It's already been 200 episodes, and just a huge thank you to our listener for being with us for this long. And I always like to have a special guest and message to share on important milestones like today. So today's episode was recorded about 4 months ago, and I've been saving it just for this episode. And the question I'm opening with today is, how are you using your business to give back and make an impact? What are you doing with it? In today's episode, we interview John and Mark Cronin, who are a father-son team that are making a difference with advocating for people with differing abilities, one pair of socks at a time. Now, John and Mark are the father-son team that created John's Crazy Socks, a social enterprise with a mission to spread happiness. They bootstrapped the business into the world's largest sock store with multi-million dollar revenues. They've been named Ernst & Young's Entrepreneurs of the Year. That's quite an accomplishment. That's a huge, huge award and recognition. Now, John is not only a business owner, but he has Down syndrome. John and Mark show what people with differing abilities can do. More than half of their colleagues have differing abilities. They're fierce advocates for inclusion, have testified twice before the U.S. Congress, and spoken at the United Nations. They are sought-after keynote speakers, have recorded two different TEDx talks, and are frequent guests on network television. They create unique customer experiences and develop a workplace culture that leads to an engaged workforce. And they show their gratitude through giving back program that has raised over $700,000 for their charity partners. You're going to love this interview with John and Mark, so let's go ahead and jump right into it.
My name is John. They're my partner, my dad, Mark. And our company is John Crazy Socks. And our mission is spreading happiness.
John's Crazy Socks. And we are spreading happiness.
Yeah, right, Dad, buddy?
Just getting started.
I love your mission and I love what you're doing. And, you know, one of the things about saying you're just getting started, well, I'd love to talk to you about how you got started. It's always interesting. I love father-son duos in general and just family duos, but I'd love for you to talk about how you got started or what led to it.
Well, your origin stories give us our DNA, right? They, you know, you could be 50 years out from that origin story and it's still influencing you. So for us, we're telling the full story.
I get to tell the full story.
You got to go back to the fall of 2016. And our story starts in a small log cabin in the woods.
No.
It starts on suburban Long Island outside New York City. And where were you?
I was at a Huntington High School. I could be my last year of school.
So John, among other things, John has Down syndrome.
Yes, I am.
And if you have a disability anywhere in the U.S., you can stay in the public school system until you turn 21. But then they say, get out. So John was trying to figure out, like everybody else, what do I do next? What comes next? And what were you looking at?
I look at job, program, and school. I can't find a career option I don't like.
He couldn't find anything he liked. And this, unfortunately, is a reality for too many people. There just aren't enough opportunities for people with differing abilities. Only one in five people with a disability is employed in this country. But now I'm speaking to you in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
John is like you. John is a natural entrepreneur.
Yes, I am. I am an entrepreneur.
Right. You didn't see a job you wanted. What'd you say?
I said, I want to create one. I want to make one. I told my dad I want to go business with him. A nice father and son business together.
So I'm a lucky man.
Yes, you are.
I've got three sons. And this is one I can work
with. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So there we were. We're going to go into business together, right? We're going to start a business. We have to figure out, well, what exactly are we going to do? John had a lot of ideas.
Yeah, I've got smoke in my ears.
Not all of them were good ideas, right? What was one of them?
One of them is food truck. I have an idea from the movie called Chef and John Favreau. It's a neat movie about a father and son buying a food truck.
So a food truck. That sounded like a fun idea. Everybody, you've eaten at a food truck.
Yep.
And we're thinking, what could we make? Where could we put it?
I love hot dog, Dad.
Yes. But we ran into a problem.
We can't cook.
Yeah, we can't cook. So it wasn't going to be a food truck. But then, right before the U.S. Thanksgiving, back in 2016, John had
pretty ideas.
Your eureka moment.
Yes, it did. I want to sell pretty socks. White socks. It's fun. It's colorful. It's creative. It always let me be me. I want pretty socks my whole life.
So now we had the idea. We eschewed preparing the traditional business plan. And we said, you know, let's get something up and running. Let's test the idea. And so we went the lean startup route. You already had the name.
I got a name. I told a website. I come out here.
So we built a website. You'll be familiar with Shopify. We built it on their platform. Got a little bit of inventory. The only marketing we did was to set up a Facebook page. And I would take out my cell phone and we made videos. And Tom, who do you think was in those videos?
I am. I talk about socks, and more socks.
So we opened on Friday, December 9th, 2016.
Yep.
We just celebrated our 7th anniversary. And we didn't know what to expect. But that first day, we got 42 orders, which felt like a flood of orders. Most of them were local, which made sense. We lived in the town of Huntington. He's in a high school. We had temporary office space there. So how did we deliver those first orders?
I hope to the threes.
We got red boxes.
Yeah.
Put the socks in the box. Said it needs something else. Put in a thank you note from John.
Yes.
We put in candy. Loaded up the car. Drove around and you knocked on doors delivering socks.
You did it. I did it last night.
And how the customers respond?
I cut the response. They love the socks. I had to take a picture with me and the customer and our socks and share it on social media. I would get that spread.
So by the end of that month, really 2 weeks, we had shipped 452 orders and we knew we had something. We didn't know how big it would grow. We didn't know how fast it would grow, but we knew we could make this business work. Jump ahead 7 years. How many different socks do we have?
We have 4,000 different kinds of socks in your sources.
Which means John owns the world's largest sock store.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not outselling Walmart and Target, or at least not yet, but we have more choice than anybody else. We've shipped over 440,000 packages to 88 different countries. We've been able to create 34 jobs. 22 of those are held by people with different abilities. We've raised over $700,000 for our charity partners. And as you like to say,
I should say, just get started.
Just getting started.
What an incredible story. Thank you for sharing the origin story and the history and how you've grown the business. And as you mentioned, just recently celebrating the anniversary of the business. As you're leading this organization, love for you to talk about some of the benefits you see in leading a purpose-driven business.
Well, we think that is the way to go. And I'll put it in some historical context. Back in the 1960s, the economist Milton Friedman declared that businesses or corporations had one obligation, and that was to their shareholders. I would suggest that's when things started going wrong. Because an organization has an obligation to all of its stakeholders. Yes, we have an obligation to our shareholders, to our owners, to us. But we have an obligation to our employees, our colleagues, to our customers, to the community, to the environment. Increasingly, employees are asking, what am I doing? What, you know, if I'm going to work 40 hours a week, what's it all about, Alfie? What's it add up to? And customers are increasingly asking, before I give you my money, Who are you? What do you do? And if you have a purpose-driven business, you can answer those questions. It differentiates you in the marketplace. You know, so think about us. I told you we didn't, when we started, we didn't do that business plan. Well, we've gone out, we've done that research now. Right? We have counted. Do you know how many sock companies there are? There's exactly 1 gazillion sock companies. And if all we're doing is selling socks, we're done. What do you say? Ours are better than yours.
And that's better like yours.
You know, do you want to compete to be the cheapest product? But because we have a purpose and a mission, because we're driving on that, that differentiates us in the marketplace. It helps us stand out. And in its own way, even though, yes, we are the world's largest sock store, at the end of the day, we're not really a sock store. The socks become the physical manifestation for the mission and the story.
I love the work that you're doing and just being an example of what you can do for having a purpose and staying true to that. And I think you're right. Milton Friedman was a brilliant economist, but I think he really missed the mark that an organization does not just exist solely for the benefit of its shareholders. It's for the stakeholders at large.
Well, and you know, here's an example, a practical example of why you need to know what your purpose is, why you need to know what your values are. Because when things go bad, and they will go bad, it's not a question of when, it's just of if, they will go bad. Your purpose will keep you going in the right direction. It'll be your North Star. So consider this, right? We roll into March of 2020, and we all get hit with a pandemic. Who expected a pandemic? And you know, be careful, that was about lives. But for our business, it was awful. In that spring, we lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. What do? How do you survive? Well, we knew what our purpose was. And that kept us going. Right? You know, first, we had to take care of our colleagues. We had to make sure everybody was safe. And that was risky in our business because we hire people with differing abilities. Many of them were particularly vulnerable. And then you ask, how can we adapt? So we host tours. We move those online. We do a lot of speaking engagements. We move those online. It opened the world up for us. We make socks. What could we do? We made healthcare superhero socks to thank the frontline workers. And those raised over $50,000 for the American Nurses Foundation. And then you say, well, how can we look for new opportunities? We made masks with our themes on it. And what's our mission?
Spread happiness.
How do you spread happiness if everybody is locked down? Well, here's one way. What do you do every Tuesday afternoon?
Every Tuesday, I host an online dance party every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time.
We start an online dance party. What's better than that? Bring people together online to just have some fun. And we started a Facebook Live show, the Spreading Happiness Show, just to connect with people. And that helped us survive. That built our community. But you only do that, you know, if all we were doing was selling socks, we'd be sunk.
That's a great point, to stick to your purpose, your mission, and what you're looking to do there. I think it's inspiring with how you figured out a way of bringing in and hiring staff with differing abilities, as you described that there. And so I'd like for you just to talk about, for our audience, the folks who are going to listen into this, they're entrepreneurs, they're business leaders, they're building franchise companies and growing existing businesses. And so certainly they are in a position where they can make and implement maybe some changes in their own company. So I'd love for you to talk about what that's been like and maybe just how you've gone about implementing that into your own business.
Well, let's start here. Hiring people with differing abilities, and mainly with, in our case, we're talking about people with intellectual development disabilities. That's not altruism. It's good business. If you got to know us, you'd find out that John here is a very nice guy. I am not. If you're going to work in our business, you got to produce. So I'm talking to you as an employer. one of the things you want to do is hire the very best people for the salary you can afford to pay. If you artificially exclude a population, you cannot do that. So if you won't hire anybody with a disability, you cannot get the best possible people. I used to think we had to create more jobs for people with disabilities. I no longer think that way. We just have to recognize we have jobs they can already do. So here's an example. Much of what we do our own fulfillment. We run our own pick and pack warehouse. What do we call our pickers?
A sock pickler.
So over our 7 years, we have hired from three different populations, three different labor pools, people with different abilities, moms, because we hire in 4-hour shifts. So you can put your kid on the bus in the morning, come into work, and then be home in time to pick your kid up. We get some dads in there, but it's a lot of moms. And then general laborers who want to start at a $15, $16 an hour job. By far, the best labor pool are people with different abilities. They want to be there. They're enthusiastic. They show up. They care about what they do, and they do a great job. So, you know, here's some of the proof. We do same-day shipping. We do better shipping than Amazon. And Jeff Bezos over at Amazon, he's not putting a thank you note and candy in those packages. Our error rate is less than 0.2%. And that's because of the people we hire. And how do we do it? Well, we work in the local community. We work with schools, social service agencies. I mentioned we have tours. We've had more than 2,000 people come through on tours. We have work groups that come in from schools, social service agencies. So people get to know us. When we go to hire, we don't use Indeed or ZipRecruiter. We let our community know. But you have to earn the job. We don't give jobs to anybody. So for our sock wrangler job, we'll train you. But to get the job, you have to pay us the sock wrangler test. You got to pick 6 orders, 20 minutes or less, show us you can do the job. And that's part of the dignity. Everybody who works with us knows they earned that job. They deserve to be there. And they're contributing to the mission. So we succeed because of the people we are. And in the end, right, we have a growing labor shortage in this country. I'm sure many of you out in that audience are saying to yourself, I have trouble finding workers. We have no trouble filling our jobs. It helps us fill those jobs. We're in an age of the big quit. 4 million Americans quitting their jobs each month. Nobody leaves our place. People are happy. Morale is up. Productivity is up. Retention is up. That's why you do it. You do it because it's good business.
One thing I always like to ask family businesses is how you make it work as a family business. You have father, son, and we've had other folks on where there have been spouses or, you know, similar situation, father, son, mother, daughter. So I'd love for you to just talk about making that work together because you're running a business, but you're also, you know, dad and son.
Well, it doesn't always connect that way. John and I, we work pretty well together, right?
Yeah, Dad.
I think for us, it's because we're both committed to a mission that's larger than ourselves. And when you commit to something larger than yourself, the petty stuff falls away. And we both know we need each other. But it's not always that way. My middle son, your older brother, worked with us for a while. Yeah. Jamie, I love him dearly. We get along very well. We talk all the time. But he left our employ, which was a good thing, because we kept working together. You were going to find us both in a pool of blood on the floor, you know, with axes in our heads. And, you know, when you mention spouses, my bride, your mom works with us.
Of course.
And that can be wonderful. But there are times, you know, we'll be out and, you know, think about this. You're out in that audience. You're the owner. Your mind's always going. And she'll look at me and just say, can we stop? Can we leave it in the office? Or I'll be sitting with her, we'll be having dinner, and I'll say, sweetheart, can I just tell you about something at work? I just want to vent for a moment. There's one woman at work. You're not going to believe what she did today. And she's driving me nuts. Only it's you.
Thank you for sharing. And I was reviewing and checking out your inventory and looking at all the great selections. And I've just got to know, for each of you, what's your favorite pair of socks?
My favorite pair of socks is a Downington superhero sock on a cape.
And that's because you designed it?
My design and my pixel
on it. And your face is on
it? My pixel on it.
I think my favorite pair now are band book socks. You know, sometimes it's the Sherlock Holmes socks, but John is the sock aficionado. I'm along for the ride.
Thank you.
Love it. Well, thank you guys. This is a great time. We make a transition in our show. We ask every guest the same four questions. And the first question we like to ask is, have you had a miss or two on your journey and something you learned from it?
I'm not a miss. It's Special Olympics. I am a Special Olympic athlete, and sometimes I can win. Sometimes I fall. I always pick up again and keep going. And I love to quit, and I keep going. And it doesn't matter when I lose.
I keep going. Yeah, you want to know about misses. You know, I'm 65 years old.
Yes, you are.
Bring that camera closer. You can see the scars, right? You know, I can tell you about New Gutenberg Software, a software company I started in 1994. We put out Baseball for Windows 94. Got rave reviews. Lost every penny we had. People were not having me on their shows to interview me about New Gutenberg Software.
You're old.
But if I didn't do that, we wouldn't be doing this, right? And there are countless examples I could give of things that you learn. You know, we learn from failure. Well, we have the opportunity to learn. And that failure, you're never done. It's just yet, right? What's coming next? And it becomes the tuition we pay to keep learning. I'll give you another kind of simple or early example. My senior year of college, I started something. I went to a place called Holy Cross, and I started something called the Lunchbox Theater. So during the lunch hour, we would put on plays, poetry, readings, concerts. And I ran around for that year, lining people up, getting people to do it, convincing them to put on shows. It was great fun. I convinced a junior to take over for me, which he did the next year, and then it died out. I never created an organization. Jump ahead, I go to graduate school. A few years later, a two-year program, and we started a summer intern fund, a fund that would give out stipends to people who had low-paying or non-paying summer jobs between the 2 years. That one, I worked with the administration, I worked with the Alumni Association, I worked with other students. We put something in place. So that was at the Kennedy School of Government. I got out of there in 1986. They're still running that summer intern fund because we put the right foundation in.
Great examples. Thank you for sharing. And let's talk about a make or two. Going through your backgrounds and resumes and accomplishments, you have a lot.
John was attending a summer program in our local school district, and I ran into the principal in the village and said, she looks at me and she says, Mark, John's doing such a great job with the talent show he's organizing. Okay, I know nothing about this. It turned out John decided that the school should have a talent show. And he put together a proposal, brought it in on his iPad, pitched it to the principal, who then said, okay, you can go and organize this. And that's exactly what he went and did and put on this great talent show. Right? I spent much of my career in the healthcare field in the late 80s. I ran the Medicaid health program in New York City. And, you know, Medicaid was a high-cost program that delivered care, but not always in the best setting. So we had to find a way to change that. And we had a blue ribbon panel that came out with recommendations. I got sent to Albany with this proposal for a major Medicaid reform. And I remember the first time I gave a presentation was late December, and there was a state senator who came over to me and said, young man, that was a fine presentation, but you have a turkey in your pocket, and that turkey will never fly. Well, I spent my spring in Albany building coalitions, working, you know, obviously I had the backing of the city, so there were lots of folks in the city building coalitions. And on the last day of the session of the legislature, they passed this Medicaid reform legislation, which gave coverage for thousands of more people and helped change and improve access to primary care. And I don't have many physical possessions I like or value, but the then Governor Cuomo gave me a pen, right? When they do the formal signing, they take a pen and they put it on the first piece of legislation. And so that was pretty cool. I've been fortunate to be able to do things like that.
Incredible stories. Well, the next question we ask is, have you had a multiplier that you've used to maybe grow your business or yourself personally or professionally?
There are things we do that both help our business, but also help grow others. So we do a lot of show, don't tell. We want to share what we do. So we mentioned the tours and the work groups. John and I do a lot of speaking engagements. We travel the country as keynote speakers. We also do a lot of advocacy work. People will listen to us because of the business. And that creates an opportunity, but also an obligation on our part to speak up. So we've testified twice before Congress. I have to add nowadays that we were not subpoenaed. We've spoken twice at the United Nations. We meet with a lot of other businesses. So this is good for our business. But one of the things that has been most rewarding is to hear back from other businesses led by people with differing abilities that have contacted us and said, we started this because we saw what you were doing. Or the feedback we get from some companies that have said, you know what? We're now starting a program to hire people with different abilities. So that's pretty cool.
The business itself is that multiplier, as you described, having that opportunity to open doors, right? Create those opportunities and speaking. If people want to hear, wow, how'd you do it? Or what did you do? And it's interesting. It definitely sparks conversation. Well, John and Mark, the final question we ask every guest is, what does success mean to you?
I think we go back to our mission, right? What's our mission?
Happiness.
And what do you say are the keys?
It's gratitude into for others.
Gratitude into for others. Success for us is seeing what enables us to do with other people. There is nothing better than to be in our warehouse this time of year. We're busy. The place is full of activity. It is pure joy. And so many of our colleagues, this is their first job. So one of the things we do, we hold these rituals. Every organization has their rituals. We have a little ceremony for everybody when they get their first check, to present it to them because it's something special. And success, it's seeing the impact. I mean, if we have time, I'll tell the story about one of our colleagues, Thomas.
Yeah.
Tell about Thomas.
He's got a great name. I like him already.
So Thomas's mom first called us in October of 2017 and said, I hear you hire people like my son. I want you to give my son a job. And our colleague who spoke to her said, well, we don't have any openings, but we'll post them when we do. She called every day because she's a mom. And I spoke to her and I said, tell me about Thomas. She said, well, Thomas is a young man with autism, early 20s, and he's in a bad way. He's very depressed. We can't get him to join any programs. We have trouble just getting him to come out of his room. He doesn't want to shower or shave. And he hasn't spoken to his father in over 6 months. I said, oh, well, sounds like a wonderful employee. And when we had an opening, Thomas came out and he passed that sock wrangler test as if he was put on this earth to be a sock wrangler. Today, Thomas is showered and shaved at 6:30 in the morning, waiting for his father to drive him to work. And the young man who wouldn't look at you or talk to you goes around the whole building, wishing everybody a good morning. And 2 months ago, he stood up at his brother's wedding and gave the best man toast. His life has been transformed because of a job. And I want to be really clear. We did nothing. We have no special programs, no special training, no government support. All we did was give Thomas the opportunity to earn a job. And then we got to witness that. How awesome is that?
Wow, what an incredible, incredible story. As we bring this to a close, I'd love for you to talk about how people can get involved in some of the things that you're doing as either as a customer, helping support some of the causes that you're involved with.
You can find us at johnscrazysocks.com.
johnscrazysocks.com. Hey, the best thing, buy some socks.
Yeah, buy socks.
You're going to get great socks, right? We have over 30,000 five-star reviews. But also, you're going to help us employ people with different abilities. You're going to help us give more hours to Thomas. You're going to help us raise money for our charity partners. Most of all, you're going to help us spread happiness. And so you come to our website. You can buy socks directly for yourself. We do make custom socks for businesses. So we've made them for 5,000 people, you know, 5,000 pairs of socks from Microsoft. But we also made them for weddings and the local lawyer. And now you can carry us in your retail store. We're selling into the wholesale channel. So, yes, we're in 854 Kohl's stores.
Yes.
But, you know, mom and pop shops are carrying us. If you've got a store out there, you may want to carry our socks. They'll help bring customers in. We'll help co-promote. So there are lots of ways to help. And if you want to get a hold of us, we're on all the social media platforms. Follow John on TikTok or
yes.
Instagram. You're going to put a smile on your face. If you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us through the website or through LinkedIn. I'm the only Mark X Cronin on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah, Dad.
You got advice for folks. We got a lot of people out here.
Yes, Dad.
They're ready to grow their business. They're ready to really explode. You got some advice.
You did do that. Thank you, Dad. Follow your heart. Follow your dreams. Work hard so you can do.
John and Mark, thank you so much for a fantastic interview. And let's go ahead and jump into today's three key takeaways. So takeaway number one is focused on their mission. It's simple and I love it and powerful. It's just to spread happiness. What a great, simple way to keep you on point and on mission. Takeaway number two is when they talked about the benefits of leading a purpose-driven business. And Mark specifically referenced Milton Friedman made a huge change in the business world when he said that the primary focus of any organization is to maximize shareholder profit. And he actually said that it's more than that. It's about all stakeholders and considering all stakeholders. And I have a firm belief in that as well. In fact, my doctoral research and my doctoral thesis all centered on something very similar to this in how you measure an organization's virtuousness, that it's far more than just profit. So I love this. And they said that by doing this, you're able to keep your company and your organization's North Star at the center. And takeaway number three is from the multiplier that they shared, which is how John and Mark talked about that the business, by having the business and having a successful business, it has allowed them to create a platform to create and promote advocacy for people with differing abilities and to inspire other companies to hire people with differing abilities. I thought that was a great little takeaway there and something for you as a leader to consider in your own organization. Are there duties or tasks or jobs that might be available for someone with differing abilities that maybe you hadn't considered? And in fact, I recently was just at a restaurant where they had someone working with differing abilities in a great position for them. So it was just something that's top of mind here. So how might you be able to do this in your own business? And now it's time for today's win-win. So today's win-win comes from the very end of the episode when John gave just a really meaningful quote. And he said, follow your heart, follow your dreams, work hard, and show what you can do. And I thought that was just brilliant. I thought that was very well spoken, very succinct. And it's a great win-win because if you are following your heart, following your dreams, you're working hard, showing what you can do, everything else, the rest is going to follow. It's just brilliant, very well spoken. And so I'd just like to thank John and Mark for being a guest on our podcast and giving their time and being here, because I know how in demand your time is. So just want to thank you, and thank you for inspiring us and motivating us to look at things in a different way and see possibilities where maybe we hadn't before. So thank you for that. And that's the episode today, folks. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and give us a review. And remember, if you or anyone you know might be ready to franchise their business or take their franchise company to the next level, please connect with us at BigSkyFranchiseTeam.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to having you back next week.